Please join me in our prayer of understanding of God's word. By your Spirit, O God, still our restless spirits and unstop our ears. Let us hear your word, and that it may be a work in us. For the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Today's reading is found in Matthew 23, verse 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one Father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I thank our brother in Christ for his leadership this morning. Thank you, my friend. It's always a pleasure to be in ministry with you. Would you please join with me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for your word. We open ourselves beyond anything that I'm going to say, beyond anything that has been done or offered, to how you speak into our lives. Help us to hear your voice. We open ourselves humbly. In the name of Christ, amen. Humility is an important characteristic of Christians. And it's a very important characteristic of being a pastor. And there's one situation after another that reminds me of this, and I am extremely thankful because it gives me perspective. It happened again this past week whenever a particular sister in Christ, and she's vertically challenged. Do you understand what I'm saying whenever I say she's vertically challenged? Certain height, but she's powerful. I find that those people who are vertically challenged are also very powerful. And whenever she comes up to me, her arms hit me in a particular place, and I don't know if you've ever heard of these before, called my love handles. I don't know if you've ever heard of love handles. Has anybody ever dealt with love handles or hugged somebody? And whenever she hugs me right around the love handles and squeezes me, I always go, "Huah!" And it makes me feel alive, and it makes sure that everything's functioning well. But she added something, and this is where the humility part comes in. She said, "I know that you've been on a cruise, Pastor, and I know that they have a lot of wonderful food, so I wanted to make sure my arms would still fit around you." So I responded, as we all do as Christians, "God loves you too." And I'm trying. You know, humility is connected directly with servanthood. And in my reading of the Gospels and of Scripture, again and again, certainly Jesus is my Savior, our Savior. Certainly Jesus is our Lord. Certainly Jesus is the Son of God, but in his ministry and work on earth, he was a servant time and time again. Whenever you read scripture passages and hear stories and his parables or stories that he told, time and time again, they were about servanthood. Not about gaining some sort of adulation from other people. Not about lifting up yourself above others, but rather being willing to serve. And there is that one particular incident when he is on his knees and he's washing feet, dirty, smelly, dusty feet. And those whose feet he was washing wanted to resist and said, no, come on. I want to do it to do. I should be doing this to you. And very clearly, Jesus says there, I am here to serve. So that whole idea of servanthood is key, in my mind, for all Christians as to what we are called into. And Jesus is speaking about that and speaking about humility also and what it is to be humble as he starts talking to the crowds and the disciples. He talks about the scribes and the Pharisees, and sometimes we make this mistake of thinking that all the Pharisees were interested in basically holding people underneath their thumb, that every single Pharisee was simply interested in lifting themselves up above other people. And that's not the case. There were plenty of Pharisees that were following Jesus, that were listening to Jesus, that were being challenged, stretched, surprised, and changed by God's grace through Jesus. But there were also plenty of them that wanted to be in those positions of power and wanted people to look at them and honor them, even above God. And it's those Pharisees and those scribes, those people in positions of power and in religious authority that Jesus is talking about. He says that as they're teaching about the law, and as they're teaching from Moses' law, certainly follow that, listen to that, hear that. But don't do as they do. Do as I say, not as I do. That's the phrase that comes to mind in this particular passage. Don't follow their example, in other words. Jesus points out that certainly they had long fringes that indicated wisdom and knowledge and authority. They had phylacteries. It's one of those words, it's kind of a tough one. Thank goodness the candy has made it to this section. So now everybody's going to have a smile on their face, hopefully. If it makes it out of the front row and he doesn't melt all the chocolate holding on to it. The phylacteries were containers for scripture passages. Containers that they had on their arms, okay, leather boxes, containers, and also they wore them on their heads. And they held scripture passages in there that were supposed to remind them of God, okay? Those particular scripture passages were supposed to remind them of God. But what happened? The phylacteries or the leather boxes got bigger and bigger and bigger until what went on is that those became the point of attention. In other words, it was to say, look at how wise and holy I am because of all of the scriptures that I'm holding here or here. So again, Jesus says, don't follow that example. In other words, don't put on a show for others. Be always mindful of honoring God in your life. He also mentions that the authorities that he's pointing out as kind of a poor example are putting more and more of a challenge on other people. Certainly, they're putting more and more of a burden on others. And it may have been that they wanted people to follow to the letter all of these hundreds of rabbinic laws, possibly. Keeping an eye on them, watching them, keeping an eye more on them than opening themselves to how God is speaking in their lives. You know, that's a challenging thing, isn't it? And sometimes it happens in churches where people are very willing to point out the fault of someone else rather than being humble before God concerning their own lacking or sin. Remove the log in your own eye, Jesus says, before you point out the speck in someone else's eye. Real clear. Humility. Servanthood. Understanding that it is God who is worshipped, not us. Now certainly, whenever you are seeking the adulation of other people, and the scribes and the Pharisees were doing this, whenever you're seeking that adulation, whenever you count on it, whenever you count on somebody saying, atta boy, atta girl, or that's what you're looking for, or you're looking for the praise of other people, you really quickly start losing track of how God is at work in your life, don't you? It's easy to do, because that's what you're listening for. That's what you're looking for. God speaking into our lives? Does it always happen in a really huge way? Every morning, do you just kind of sit up there before you put your teeth in or your ears in or fix your hair, comb it back? Do you just sit there and God gives you a really clear, vibrant message? This is what I want you to do today. Who's that happen for? Oops. God speaking into our lives is oftentimes much more subtle, isn't it? And yet God does speak all the time, actually. Constantly, God is speaking. The challenge for us is to have the humility and the openness, and I would say the vulnerability before God to receive how God is speaking. Now, that's one of those church signs that you probably won't see very often. Learn to be vulnerable. You know, there's going to be a lot of books and a lot of signs that talk about, you know, conquering this or being victorious over that. Vulnerability, humility, servanthood. That's being a Christian involves. Does God speak into our needs and help us and strengthen us? Certainly. Absolutely. And I certainly am not saying that anyone needs to be a doormat. That's not what I'm saying at all. Humility is much different than humiliation. Completely different. But as Jesus served, the call for us then is those who follow him and take on his name is, how are we called to serve? And that's a question that only you and God can come to an agreement on, can answer. How is God asking you to serve? There is a book that came out a couple of years ago called Heaven is for Real. And you may have read it. You may have even seen the movie that I think came out last year, Heaven is for Real. And it's a story of Colton Burpo, who had an experience as he was going through a great, great medical challenge, an experience of heaven. Now, as he started sharing this and as word got out, there were those that received it in a lot of different ways. And there were those that doubted it. There were those that even thought that he had some sort of psychiatric break, if you will. But what we learn, what we all learn, everybody who reads that book and watches that movie, what we learn is that it is not ours to judge what that little boy experienced. It is ours to simply receive how God is speaking through him. And does that require a humility on our part? Absolutely. If a child is speaking a truth from God to us, does that require a humility and an openness on our part? Yes. Rather than just push them away and say, no, that's impossible. No, to be open. Colton's father, Todd, who wrote this book, was someone that needed to learn that. And while he always seemed to have everything together, while he always seemed to have everything in line, and he was in control, whenever this incident took place in his family's life and in his life personally, it changed him. And the phrase that is offered in the movie is something that speaks very much to what it is to be humble, what it is to seek to be a servant, what it is to put God first and not to seek the glory for ourselves. Todd Burpo says, God finally beat down my pride. That pride can be a strong and powerful force inside of us. But if it's something that keeps God from working in our lives, it's dangerous. It doesn't help. And it certainly doesn't encourage us to be followers of Christ, to be those who claim His name. So this morning, as we gather around the table of grace, as we gather around this table, we come humbly, certainly, and we come seeking after God. We don't come exalting ourselves. We don't come up to the communion table saying or thinking, boy, I hope everybody sees how good I look today. We come understanding that this is about God at work in our lives. Does God love us? Kids, does God love us?
Yes.
You're almost as loud as them now. Good job. Absolutely. And is God's grace at work in our lives? Yes. But we come for communion this morning, ready to lay our pride at the altar, ready to be open to God, ready to follow God, not the other way around, and ready to serve. This is an open table. And as those who are going to be serving communion would come forward, as those who are going to be serving communion would come forward, after they receive these elements of grace, the ushers will direct you to come forward as well. Extraordinary words that Jesus said here, but extraordinary words also that he said later on. Once again, he was talking to the disciples and anybody else who was gathered there. Whenever he said, this is my body. It's broken for you. It's broken for you. This has been done for you. I've been humbled so that you can be filled. And now you are my body in the world. You are the body of Christ. The body of Christ broken for the people of God. And we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after the supper was over, after that meal, more extraordinary words. As the wine was poured out, Jesus said, as you receive this, you receive my blood. And therefore, you are also forgiven. You are forgiven and loved more than you can imagine because of the sacrifice to be done for you. A sacrifice to be done for you so that you could experience God's grace powerfully. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God.